The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Hello again, it's Pat Kenny here. We're currently working away behind the scenes in preparation for my new weekend show, which will be coming your way in March. Every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m, I'll be covering everything from the latest in current affairs to the best in culture and lots, lots more. And the good news is, to keep you up to date on all we have to offer, you don't have to do a thing. Just make sure you keep following this feed on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. Between now and then, however, I've been looking back at some of the most thought-provoking and engaging guests to grace our studio over the past 12 years. Well, now we want to talk about garden stories, and we're going this time to the Inca gardens of ancient Peru. I'm joined on the line now by Dermot Gavin, Chelsea Gold Medal winner, garden designer, horticulturist, and so much more. Dermot, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, I've never been to Peru, but you've sent me pictures of the ancient gardens of the Incas, and they are gobsmacking.
It really is gobsmacking. I think a lot of people will know of the Andes Trail, the tourist trail that leads you up to Machu Picchu, which was the, I suppose, royal enclosure and sacred kind of part of the Andes. But this was all built around a million and a half hectares of terraced landscaping going up, vertical gardening, clinging on to the mountainside, going up into the clouds that sustained maybe 10, 12 million people. It really is quite extraordinary.
This all happened around the 15th and 16th centuries when the Incas were at their peak. It is an extraordinary thing because they didn't have beasts of burden to do any of the heavy lifting. This was all done with human labour.
So they didn't have any, and they did have llamas, but the llamas wouldn't have been able to carry an awful lot. So they didn't have any wheels. They didn't have iron. All their tools were made of stone. And yet what they created, how they made these just vertical, just straight up kind of mountains into viable farms is really quite extraordinary. And how they made them into farms using stone that they found on the plateaus of the Andes, which were built so remarkably well that many of it still survives to this day.
Now, the way they did it, I mean, if you've got a very steep mountain, effectively what they did is they built in steps. Each terrace, if you look at it from afar, it looks like giant steps.
That's exactly. But giant steps going all the way up. I mean, up 4,000 metres, something in Ireland we can't even begin to envisage. So there are issues up there because there's lots of snow, there's lots of water running down the mountains, there's lots of chance of soil erosion. And if you're sustaining people from at those kind of high altitudes, you need to have soil. So they were stepped to allow people to farm them, to work them, but also to keep the natural resources that they had. And those natural resources were water running down the hill, but the soil that could have easily been washed away also.
Now, it's interesting. There was a lot of science behind this, horticultural science, I suppose, because each of these steps was effectively a flower bed or a vegetable bed, because it was filled with different stuff at different levels.
Yeah, the range of crops that the terraces supported was really quite extraordinary. Potatoes in countless varieties were grown at the higher levels, along with the quinoa and other Andrean tubers. Maize is a crop that really requires a little bit more heat. That was cultivated in the warmer valley floors and in the lower terraces. Beans, peppers, peanuts and medicinal plants filled intermediate zones. So they were really exploring the potential of each level. And some people think that as they were doing it, it was, you know, 600 years ago, an experimental agricultural station, understanding what would grow in mountainous regions.
Now, these troughs, the way they filled them, I mean, there were different layers. They had gravel and sand and then topsoil. So you had drainage when the water hit them. You know, it would be maintained maybe at the bottom, but therefore you could have drainage at the top while still irrigating your crops. It was very clever stuff.
incredibly clever, and the craft that was involved was just immense. So anybody building a raised bed to sustain fruit or vegetables in Ireland will know that drainage is really important. So they use all the excess stone from the wall building to create this layer of drainage, then really good quality topsoil that they would have had to bring up just in buckets was used to fill these beds, and then some drainage at the top. So the water that was coming down off the mountains was channeled into a series of fountains and canals that were led through each of these terraces. But in doing that, it was slowed down. So if there was an avalanche of rain or whatever, or indeed of snow, everything was slowed down, kept there on the terraces. So it slowly worked, percolated through these terraces. And all the crops we just mentioned, got their fair share of irrigation.
Now, what's interesting is that on the same slope, you've got such a variation in height that you also had a variation in temperature. So potatoes at the top and way down below, maize that needed a warmer. And there could be 10 degrees difference between the bottom terrace and the top.
And the understanding of that 600 years ago was really quite extraordinary. And when you think that there is no other way that this whole kingdom would have been sustained, as I say, 1.5 million hectares, it really is quite amazing that they conquered the mountain. The other amazing thing was the quality of the stone masonry. You couldn't get a fingernail in between the man-made the stones that were cut to create these terraces. It all only lasted maybe in terms of being a viable place, maybe 150 years. When the Spanish arrived, they didn't discover it. It was far too remote for them to discover it. But it did have the diseases that they brought from Europe did have an effect on the eventual communities up above succumbing to European disease and whatever. So it was, in effect, lost for, about 400 years.
How much of this has got to be kind of maintained, or how much of it is so durable in its original design that it has lasted really without human maintenance?
And so there's an awful lot for people to see without human maintenance. Now, an awful lot of work recently has gone into rebuilding. We're learning an awful lot about how to garden ecologically in places that aren't as kind of flat as part of Ireland from it. So there's big work ongoing. But all that big work that's ongoing now is just rediscovering how clever they were. Remember, these people 600 years ago didn't have any written language. They didn't write things down. They had an extraordinary system of communicating and taking records. But that was just through tying knots along a rope in different colored threads. So they'd keep records of the farmers, of the taxes that were due to be paid. They keep records of everything just through ropes. So the fact that what's going on now is really just in terms of archaeology, is rediscovering through that brilliant artisan stone making how they did it. And it's we're learning so much for it today in terms of it being a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
It truly is one of the wonders of the world. Dermot, thank you very much for joining us and sharing with us the ancient gardens of the Incas in Peru. And that's